You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're here with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in salmon, M as in marbles. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, I got a new Twitter.
Oh, okay. Talk to it.
I changed it to underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. I think it was that before, if I'm not mistaken. But yes, underscore Kennedy, as in the former president John F., and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy, Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, all right. We're going to start off in the NFL. And Kennedy Miller, I have a real quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
So remember when we were like young kids in like second, third, fourth, fifth grade, and the teacher used to make you like do an assignment and say, if you had all the money in the world, what would you buy? And like, what were the sorts of things you used to write down on your little sheet of paper, Kennedy, in the second, third, and fourth grade when the teacher asked you that question?
Definitely a house. It was just mainly a house and maybe all the video games I could get at that point.
Man, I had stupid stuff on there. Like, I want to buy a boat, a spaceship, you know, a bunch of toys, just all kinds of goofy stuff. But there's one thing that I know. Whatever was on Patrick Mahomes' list in second, third, and fourth grade, he can buy all that and more. $500 million. $500, man. Richest contract in sports history by far, the whole nine yards. So, you know, Kennedy Miller, I'm just kicking on out to you, man. What were your first reactions to his mammoth contract? What that's going to do to the quarterback market going forward?
My first reaction was, you know, I think I almost dropped my phone. Like, I was like, bro, that can't be right. Like, when Bleacher Report showed the notification that he signed for, when it said 503, I said, you've got to be kidding me. And over 10 years, you know, that's only like numbers that we see in baseball. But then when you take a step back at it, you're like, well, can you really blame him? You know, one of the youngest quarterbacks ever to win a Super Bowl, already won an MVP. Honestly, you can make the case if you're a Kansas City fan that you're D Ford's offsides from going to back-to-back Super Bowls in his first 2 years starting. So when you think about the pieces that he has around him already with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all those guys and Andy Reid being at the helm, you're like, it's a match made in heaven. So I think both sides really, really won that deal because I think it's, right now, him being in Kansas City, I think it's perfect for each other.
My, like, initial thought was, oh, my God. Like, I've never, ever heard of a number like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, we all said after the Super Bowl, they're going to give this dude a blank check. Like, write whatever amount on it. We're going to pay you that. And that's, like, exactly what they did. Now, my second thought was, how on earth are they going to fill out the rest of the roster? Because, you know, the salary cap is in place to ensure that one team does not have a monopoly on all of the top-tier talent, right?
Right.
And, you know, when you're going to spend basically $45 to $50 million just on one spot, you know, there are going to be some other positions that go by the wayside. So even last year, their running backs, LeSean McCoy, Damien Williams, neither of them had more than 500 yards rushing. Right. At receiver.
Right.
Other than Hill and Kelce, Mecole Hardman had 26 catches. Sammy Watkins only 52. Tyreek Hill had 58. Other than that, Darwin Thompson, anybody? 9 catches. DeMarcus Robinson, 32 catches. There are going to be spots on this team that are going to have considerable holes. The offensive line is going to have some considerable holes in a couple years. I'm not sure if you remember. Remember those Indianapolis Colts teams of the early to mid-2000s?
Yes.
When they had Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokely, that dude who shot somebody at the car wash. And they were had one of the best offenses in NFL history, but we also remember their defense was abhorrent.
Right.
And that's because they put a whole bunch of money on one side of the football with Peyton Manning. And so with the Chiefs putting up that much money for Patrick Mahomes, I do question how good of a roster they're going to be able to put around him, if not for, you know, if we're not talking about Hill and Kelsey, because they just got, at this point, they had just anybody out there at running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is their thing going to be, all right, we've got Hill locked up, we've got Kelsey locked up, we've got Mahomes locked up, and other than them, we're going to have a bunch of fast dudes. And Andy is good enough, and Patrick Mahomes is good enough, we can figure this out. Like, we don't need top-tier talent anywhere else, because we got those dudes. Like, is that, you know what I mean? Like, is that going to be their plan?
Well, I think, you know, what separates the Chiefs is, for one, you know, they've already won the Super Bowl. With that team, with Indianapolis, they had won one. They had beat the Bears. But I think this Chiefs team is different than most when you think about it. You talked about their main receivers. Mecole Hardman was, you know, he was just a rookie last year. So he has room to get better. He has room to grow. As far as the running back situation, I feel as though I don't think you need to have a great running back. I think Damian Williams was, you know, I think he's good. I don't think he's great, but I don't think you need a great running back to win a Super Bowl anymore. I think if they're comparable, if they can play within the offense that they need, then it will be fine. And then the biggest thing, the Chiefs lost and they brought in Tyrann Mathieu. And he was a big addition to their defense as far as him being able to roam all over the field, him making plays, him being disruptive in the backfield. And with the Pat Mahomes deal, with him extending it instead of, you know, it just being a new contract, it's a little team friendly. And it also helped them be able to extend their best pass rusher in Chris Jones. So when you look at it, pretty much all of their key guys on both sides of the ball are locked up for another 2 to 3 years. Now, in this 10 years, it depends on what are you expecting? Are you expecting 10 straight Super Bowls or him to win 7 Super Bowls? Because I think that's unrealistic. But I think if you're a Chiefs fan and you look up 10 years later and you see that Pat Mahomes maybe got to 2 more Super Bowls and maybe won 1 more, maybe won 2 more, I think you would say that was a plus and this has been a great era for us as Chiefs fans.
I think you're right if someone's thinking rationally, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea that we're going to pay this dude this much money and this, that, and the third, we only going to win maybe 1 or 2 more, right? Now, of course, it's terribly difficult to make it to a Super Bowl. You have a 1 in a 32 chance of actually winning one. It's horribly mm-hmm. hard. But, you know, in the eyes of the front office, in the eyes of people like that, yo, if I'm paying this dude $45, $50 million a year, you would think they would want to win more than that, right? And like you said, like even for the next couple of years, they have a good number of their key guys locked up. But, you know, down the line, you know, 2025, 2026, what does this look like? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
A guy like Tyreek Hill, which, you know, his game is really predicated upon speed and athleticism, right? He's not going to be fast forever.
This is true.
So, you know, once his most dynamic aspect of his game is gone, what is he going to be able to give you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, I just think when you say, you know, the logical part, I mean, if you look at history, you know, we can go back and look and say that, you know, when Aaron Rodgers won his first Super Bowl, we didn't think that this might be the last Super Bowl that Aaron Rodgers was going to win. We thought he was about to start on a dynasty.
Yeah.
Same thing with Peyton Manning. The same thing with, honestly, you could say the same, even though they went to 2 straight with Russell Wilson and the Legion of Boom. Could also make the argument for Dan Marino. I mean,
yeah, Marino.
The list goes on and on of quarterbacks that have had success early, and you're like, oh, well, this is about to be a dynasty. They're about to go on this run. You could even make the case for Kurt Warner on the greatest show on turf when mm-hmm. they won their first Super Bowl, even though he was a little bit older when he started.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make the case for Tom Brady after he won those couple. He won a whole decade.
Yeah.
He won a whole decade before winning another one. And so, you know, I think as football fans, and I know saying this as a Cowboys fan is kind of ironic, but we need to be realistic. Be realistic with our team and what's going on. And he's going to have some very tough games against the Ravens in the playoffs and against, you know, if a young quarterback, you know, comes up as like Tua, if the Dolphins turn in to be good, even teams in the NFC, he's going to have a tough time winning multiple Super Bowls. It's a very hard thing to do. And so I think looking at this contract, I think Pat is saying, look, y'all offering me this money, I'm going to take it. But it's on y'all to figure out how y'all going to build the rest of this team around me to keep us successful.
You know, like you mentioned your Dallas Cowboys, you know, and given that Mahomes is now going to be averaging about $45 to $50 million a year in salary, and Lamar Jackson's coming up for an extension, Deshaun Watson's up for an extension, your man Dak Prescott did not get his extension. So, you know,
yes.
I'm going to just tell this to you right now. I firmly believe in 2 years Dak Prescott's going to be playing somewhere else.
Yep, I agree.
Because, like, they do not want to pay him. You know, people get contract extensions because the teams want to pay them. Christian McCaffrey got the contract extension that he got because they wanted to pay him. When the Cowboys paid Jalen Smith, they paid him because they wanted to. You know what I mean? Russell Wilson got paid because they wanted to pay him. Jadeveon Clowney didn't get paid by the Texans because Bill O'Brien, that dumbass, didn't want to pay him. The Cowboys do not seem as if they want to pay Dak Prescott. And if he was asking for $30 to $32 million a year before, now that the number's closer to 50, 47, 50, they surely aren't going to want to pay him that much.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think he's going to be a quarterback in another place in 2 years. I think, you know, they're probably going to franchise him next year again. And then after that, he's probably going to get a really big deal from somewhere, from a team that really needs a quarterback. You looking at teams like, you know, what about a New England situation or a Pittsburgh situation with teams that are about to lose aging quarterback. And so I think with that, and he's about to be in kind of uncharted territories as far as being a really coveted free agent quarterback. It's not that many quarterbacks that went through two franchise tags and then, you know, were just on the market, ready for a whole new deal. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Drew Brees was one, but, you know, then he ripped his shoulder. And so obviously the asking price for him wasn't too high because they weren't sure he could even be a competent starting quarterback again. And then Kirk Cousins was the other. And we saw how much money Kirk Cousins got in Minnesota. And you and I both agree that Dak is better than Kirk Cousins. Now, marginally, you know, how much better, whatever. I think, you know, some team is going to pay Dak Prescott a lot of money. And the Cowboys just won't be able to afford him. And then I don't know what we're going to end up being. I'm very sad about it because I do like Dak Prescott. But at the end of the day, I mean, negotiations are negotiations. He had a really tough agent from what they said. And this is terrible, Alex. I mean, absolutely terrible.
I mean, the biggest thing I think most teams try to do is win while your quarterback is still cheap. Right. That's why 2 years ago, the Rams went all in and getting Ndamukong Suh and getting Brandon Cooks, re-signing Robert Woods, and doing what they did, right?
Right.
Made a whole bunch of win-now moves. Let's win now before Jared Goff gets expensive, and then we have to start cutting corners at certain positions because a good portion of that money is allocated to Jared Goff. Like the Cowboys right now, Ezekiel Elliott's going to be making $14 million next year. Amari Cooper's going to be making $22 million in 2021. Michael Gallup is still cheap for now, but, you know, he'll be a free agent in 2 years. You paid a bunch of money to Jalen Smith. Lyle Collins, Tyron Smith, and Zach Martin are all getting paid a pretty penny.
Over $10 million.
DeMarcus Lawrence is getting $20-some-odd million a year. The time to win with this Cowboys roster was last year. Legitimately, it was last year. Because now, you got to cut corners somewhere. And they appear to be willing to cut corners at no other spot but quarterback. I think they want him, but not at whatever price he's asking for. Like, for some reason, I don't know why, they want him to take some hometown discount.
Absolutely.
But this right here, this ain't about to work, man. Like, this absolutely, I am more sure than ever he'll be playing somewhere else in 2 years. Like, it's just inevitable. The only two other quarterbacks, like you mentioned, that have been tagged twice before, playing somewhere else that third year.
And I don't understand why the Cowboys didn't attack this sooner. Well, I mean, you would obviously think that it's because they weren't sold on Dak, but what the Chiefs did, even though it was a big contract, they were extending his contract. He wasn't at the end of his contract, and so it was team-friendly. Even though it's a lot of money down the line, right now it's a team-friendly deal. They could have negotiated a team-friendly deal with Dak Prescott before it was too late, but they wanted to wait until the last minute or coming towards the last year of the deal when, you know, at this point, he's like, well, I've been to two playoffs. I won two divisions. I deserve this much. And, I mean, kudos to him because if he gets it, then he gets it. But as an organization, you would think that they would have done their due diligence and gotten this out the way a lot earlier to give themselves some stability now.
You would think, Kennedy Miller. But once again, they're your Cowboys. But we got to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Follow the show on Twitter, GamePlanTSM. That's T as in T-I, S as in Staley, M as in Meek Mill. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter, my man?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, _Kennedy, as in the former president John F. and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy. KennedyMiller_.
All right. We're going to keep it going now. We're going to switch gears to the NBA. You know, as the restarts getting ready to get going, you know, I thought we'd look back up on every NBA team's worst draft pick since 2000. We're also going to do a little bit of a redraft as well. So we're going to name their worst draft pick and who they should have picked in that year. That sound cool?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get it rolling. So we've got in 2006, the Atlanta Hawks. Their original pick was Sheldon Williams, who they should have taken with the sixth pick, Brandon Roy.
Yep. Because Brandon Roy had a good, 4 or 5 year stretch. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew he kind of had bad knees coming in. He wouldn't kind of last long. But for a 5 year stretch, averaging 20 a game, had 1 year averaging 25 a game. You can make the argument 1 year he was top 15, maybe top 10 player in the league. And, you know, he's beloved in Portland by Portland fans. And you think about what that team could have been if fully healthy, with Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Greg Oden. And that could have been a team that would have been a force in the West for a long time.
Going to move on to our next pick. The Charlotte Hornets. Their original pick in 2006, Adam Morrison. And the redraft, in this redraft, they're gonna double dip, and they're gonna have Brandon Roy again. But hell, they could have drafted me or you, and we would have been better than Adam Morrison.
You know, they say he didn't put on deodorant. He would go days without showering and putting on deodorant. Michael Jordan, and I mean, and other circumstances come as well. But Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, great basketball players. You would think have great basketball minds, but no eye for talent. Or no eye for basketball decision-making. You could even make the argument Magic Johnson as well. Traded Zubac for Mike Muscala.
He traded Zubac for Magic Beans.
But these great players oftentimes do bad jobs in front office positions. And maybe it was because they're so great that they can't identify okay talent. I don't know. But that Adam Morrison one. The only thing I know Adam Morrison for is being on the cover of one of those NCAA basketball games.
He was on. It's like 05 or something.
That's the only thing that I know Adam Morrison for.
Moving on to 2013 and the Cleveland Cavaliers. You already know where we're going. The pick, Anthony Bennett.
Yep.
Who they should have taken, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
I know we're in a real big dream scenario here, but imagine they take him and then LeBron comes back the next year. And I mean, do they trade him for Kevin Love like they did Anthony Bennett? Mm-mm. You know, maybe, but if not, if that guy stays in Cleveland with Kyrie and LeBron, my guy would have 6 championships right now. I mean, he'd have 6 championships right now. So, yeah, the Anthony Bennett one was very puzzling, but I remember a draft scout came out a couple of weeks ago and kind of talked about it, and he was like, he worked in the front office with the Wizards, and the Wizards had the 3rd pick, and he was like, literally nobody, you know, had a certain number one in that draft. And so when you look back on it, you're like, yeah, I mean, that's a bad pick, but it was like nobody knew where they wanted to go in that draft as far as the top picks. He said in Washington, some people thought that they were going to take, they wanted Terrence Ross over Bradley Beal. And it was like, well, I'm glad we didn't make that mistake.
Dude.
So, yeah, that draft was really bad besides Giannis being in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Giannis and McCollum were in that draft. Other than that, it is all-time bad. Moving on to the Dallas Mavericks and their number 9 pick in 2017, Dennis Smith Jr., who they should have taken, Donovan Mitchell.
Yep. And what that year was 3 point guards, because it was, I want to say it was Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, and then Dennis Smith. But in, you know, coming out of high school, Dennis Smith was a problem as far as, like, if you watch his hoop mixtape, he had one of the best hoop mixtapes you're ever going to see. Tore his ACL, you didn't really know how he was going to be, still had to bounce. And then went to NC State, if I'm not mistaken.
It was NC State.
Had a pretty good year. But, I mean, if the Mavs had Donovan Mitchell, would they even have a chance at getting Luka?
Probably not.
If they did. If they had Luka and Donovan Mitchell, and wow. Yeah, I mean, I know these decisions have gotten a lot of people fired.
Oh, yeah.
These decisions that you're going at have gotten a lot of people fired over the years.
This next decision didn't get anybody fired because they won a championship in this dude's rookie year. We're on our way to the Motor City in Detroit. The pick, mm-hmm. 2003, Darko Milicic.
Yep.
And we already know who they should have took. Carmelo Anthony.
Or Dwayne Wade, honestly.
I don't think D-Wade would have fit on that team, given that they had Rip and Chauncey already.
Well, see, that, I mean, that's how they say about, you know, Melo. It's been like, because Ben Wallace came out and was like, or Rip Hamilton first, yeah, you know, if we got Melo, we're winning 2 more championships because he helps extend our careers. We don't have to play as long minutes as we had to play later on in our careers, and maybe they don't blow it up as quickly as they should have. But Ben Wallace came out and said, if we get Melo, it might mess up our chemistry. If you get Melo at that point, do you even trade for Rasheed Wallace? Is he going to complain about splitting time with Tayshaun Prince? And so will it just blow up the entire team's chemistry? And we know Larry Brown's situation with superstars. He clashed with AI until AI fell in love with him, but he clashed with Stephon Marbury. He was very difficult to play for as a coach. So who knows how Melo would have fit in there, but on paper, you put Carmelo Anthony on that Detroit Pistons team, and then they get Rasheed Wallace. They're winning that 04 championship. They're beating the Spurs in 2005.
Watch yourself. I'm playing.
I'm sorry.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, do you look at Carmelo's career compared to LeBron? You would look at it a lot differently.
Yeah. Most definitely. You most definitely would. Moving on to the Houston Rockets. In 2012, their pick was Royce White.
Oh, my gosh. Was this over Paul George?
No, it wasn't. This isn't the redraft pick was not Paul George.
Okay.
Paul George was 2010.
I might be wrong. Who was the pick that it should have been?
Draymond Green.
Oh, well. Yeah. Listen, there's no reason why Draymond shouldn't have been a first rounder. I don't care how fat he is. Like, I don't care how fat he was at Michigan State. He was a player of the year. How many, like, he's made that point before. How many player of the years in college go second round? Like, it's not that, like, he was a really good college player, and no team, I want to say the Warriors passed up on him three times before they finally drafted him.
Yeah.
Because they drafted Harrison Barnes, they drafted Festus Ezeli before him, and then I think they ended up drafting him. So I want to say two teams. I mean, they passed up on him twice. But I thought the Heat, I remember I was at a science camp going into my, 2012? Going into my sophomore year.
Okay.
And I was looking at, like, mock drafts, draft stocks. You know, Draymond Green was supposed to go in top 20s, but one of them had him going to the Heat with the last pick. And I was like, if we get Draymond, that's a steal. And I can't remember what bum we drafted. But we drafted some scrub. And Draymond just fell in the second round and just fell in the laps of Golden State. And that was the year they started making the playoffs, and then they went on their run.
Moving on to Memphis in 2009. The pick was Hasheem Thabeet.
I knew it.
Who they should have drafted. I mean, there are like three or four people they could have taken here. James Harden.
Oh, nothing. What? I'm trying to think. What year did Steph come out? Was that the 09 class too?
Yep.
So, Steph, Harden. Oh, man. Memphis really messed that up. And, you know, Steph got passed up, what? He got passed up twice by Minnesota.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you think about James Harden, and you think about that Memphis team that it ended up being and how they lacked, like, a true scorer on the perimeter. And you think, like, what if they had stumbled across, like, I remember somebody tweeted, and it got me thinking, like, what was the missing piece for the Memphis Grizzlies that would have made them a championship, realistically? And that was one. If they had drafted James Harden in 09, another one, they could have drafted Kawhi when he came out. And Kawhi, I mean, plugged into that Memphis grit and grind system, they'd be really tough to score on. Really tough.
Moving on to Minnesota in 09.
Jesus.
The original pick, Johnny Flynn from Syracuse.
Johnny Flynn.
Who they should have taken. Wardell Stephen Curry.
How do you pass up on him twice? Minnesota just, they butchered that. And people act like Steph just kind of came out the blue. Like, they don't remember how in college he took his team to the Final Four. And kind of uncertain about how small he is. And, you know, is he a point guard? Is he a two guard? What is he? I think he's proven all. And, you know, will he get banged up or whatever? I think he's proven all the haters wrong now. And by the way, I don't think it's kind of safe to call Steph a little guy anymore. Like, he's 6'3", like, two, like, he's got, like, a nice build for a point guard. Like, he's not a small guy. Like, he's not an AI, like a Chris Paul. He's a legit 6'3", you know, like, and kind of big, too. And so, man, that Minnesota, I know. Front office people, fine.
This one, this may be our last one. Portland.
Okay.
Now, they can have three picks up here. But we're going to go to 2007 and Greg Oden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to say this right quick. This isn't really so much Greg Oden's fault. You know, Greg Oden could never get on the court. You know what I mean? And who they should have taken. Kevin Durant.
And to your point, like, it's not like Greg, like, when Greg did get on the court, it wasn't like he was bad. He was actually a pretty good big man. Just had terrible knees. Just had horrendous knees. I want to say he had one leg was taller than the other. Like, one leg was longer than the other. And they knew that. And they still took him over Kevin Durant. And Portland, man. I mean, just such bad luck. Brandon Roy, passing up on Michael Jordan for Sam Bowie. I don't care if they had Clyde Drexler. And then passing up on Kevin Durant for Greg Oden.
Going to leave it right there, everybody. But we will be right back. And on the other side of the break, we're going to have our friend Tobias Bass. He works at Guns Up Nation and Overtime Heroic Sports. He's going to join us to talk about the NBA restart, Patrick Mahomes' new contract, all that and more when we come back. This is the Game Plan Podcast.
seen a Cuban kilo, I was 15. Huh. Dylan Yayo never had my teeth cleaned. Restricted license, but I'm so divisive. I know the snipers and I flow the nicest. Fresher than Groovy Louetta.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That's T as in Tacoma, S as in Seattle, M as in Maryland. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, underscore Kennedy as in the former president John F. and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. Joining us on the phone right now is a friend of the show. He's a podcaster at Guns of Nation. Our good friend Tobias Bass. Tobias, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Just trying to stay cool. I mean, it's nighttime right now, but it's hot. It's hot as hell all day today.
Most definitely, man. We're going to get right into it with you. We're going to start off with the NFL and Patrick Mahomes signing that $500 million contract. What do you think that does for the quarterback market, and more specifically Dak Prescott?
I definitely think it raises the bar. I mean, Dak, he's definitely not going to get anything, you know, near that. But I definitely think, they need to come to a long-term deal. Unfortunately, you know, yesterday they hit the deadline. They didn't do it. So it looks like he'll be playing under their franchise tag. But, you know, what is a franchise tag? It's pretty much the engagement of re-signing. You know, we like you, but we don't love you. You know what I'm saying? I'll put the ring on your finger, but I'm still trying to figure out, do I love you yet? So that's what the Cowboys are doing. My biggest concern with them is next year, I think they'll probably go 8-8, 9-7 maybe. I don't think they win a division. But my point is, they're going to be good enough to where they're not going to be able to draft Fields or Trevor Lawrence. So where do you go from there? Are you going to tag him again and play him and pay him with the 58, 68 a year? Or you might as well go ahead and re-sign him. That's my thing.
Tobias, I agree with everything you said about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, except for the record. We're going 10-6, and we're winning that division.
Y'all not winning the division, bro. The Eagles will win that division if they stay healthy.
I know you hate the Cowboys. I know it's a little personal for you, but you got to take the bias out of it. We're a darn good football team, and
offensively, defensively, I'm not sure.
Oh well, defensively, I'm not sure about the Eagles as well. So
I mean, I guess Darius Slade. You know, I guess he's not a big-time acquisition, but go on.
Yeah, whatever.
I was going to say, Kennedy Miller, the Cowboys are a talented football team. They aren't a good football team. I think there's a difference.
And I have one question. Have you seen their schedule? It's rough. It's not easy.
It's very tough.
I don't think y'all are going to the play. I don't see how. Y'all going to play? Y'all going to be scoring 40 and giving up 50? Byron Jones isn't coming out their door.
Listen, I almost said something about Byron Jones. Go get your money in Miami. Get what, $50 million, however much they gave you. Byron Jones was not a difference maker back there. He was good. He was a good corner. He was not a difference maker.
He's what, the best secondary player y'all had in how long?
Don't do
that. Half decade.
Don't do that, Tobias.
Probably longer. Roy Williams might be the last good secondary player y'all had in the last 10 years. Am I forgetting anybody?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
don't bring me down rough patches in my life.
Orlando Scandrick, maybe.
Hey,
the best thing Alex, going on for Orlando Scandrick is his wife. That's the best thing going for him right now. We know this.
She bad too.
She bad.
I'd be at home too if I was there.
Boy, I would have been retired. What is it? Anyway, go on. Go on, Alex.
Switching gears to the NBA, the restart is going to be in about 2 weeks or so. So, Tobias, what players that are flying under the radar do you think are going to make some waves here in Orlando?
Well, I do want to say this for starters. One player we all need to keep our eyes on is Chris Middleton. I think he has the biggest pressure in the bubble going into this restart. Because if he plays bad and the Bucks don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, I think that Giannis leaves, because Giannis is going to look at himself, look at the situation. I'm going to come back next year in 21. Kyrie and KD come back. The Celtics are young and thriving. The Raptors are probably going to re-sign their players. The 76ers are going to come back again, and the Miami Heat are going to be another year better. I think Giannis is going to say, we're not going to win the East next year in 21. This is the year for them to do something. Next year, if I'm telling you, if Chris Middleton plays bad, and we know he likes to fold in the playoffs, if he doesn't play well, Giannis is going to leave because he's going to have to look at this realistically. He's getting to that territory of how we were bullying LeBron. He'll be, what, 25 going on 26 with no rings, with the MVP. He's going to start getting to that territory. We're going to be like, okay, why don't you have a ring? Keep in mind, the teams that Giannis has played on, they're a lot. They're significantly better than those Cavs teams that LeBron had. So I think Chris Middleton definitely has the most pressure going into this Buffalo.
I'm going to go more on a superstar level here and say I think James Harden has a lot of pressure as far as how – what version of James Harden will we see? Because, you know, it's probably been about 4 or 5 years now where Houston Rocket fans – and I'm not saying that I completely oppose them, but just Houston Rocket fans will give the argument that James Harden ran out of gas. He was doing too much. He was tired by the time the playoffs come around, and now we're in a situation where you've had 3 or 4 months off. We've seen him. He looks like he's lost a significant amount of weight. And I think that the Rockets are a team that could be considered a dark horse in this type of event that's going on with the rest that these guys have been given. They were kind of retooling their entire team as far as kind of taking away the center position and kind of spacing the floor so they get a whole new training camp. Guys are rested. And they have two superstars. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality. They got two superstars like almost every competing team does this year. And so they have just as good of a chance as anyone. And if they were to, what I want to say, they're the sixth seed right now. If they were to go in and lose to like a Denver in the first round, it would be incredibly disappointing. Because this is a team that could realistically challenge a Western Conference Finals team or go to the finals and possibly win it. So I think the pressure is the most on James Harden.
My take on the Rockets, I think this is the last dance for the like the Jordan thing. They didn't re-sign Mike D'Antoni. They brought in a completely new staff, pretty much, you know, against his will.
Right.
James Harden is touching 30. Russell Westbrook is in his 30s. They have, you know, they're not going to have any good draft picks. So if they haven't re-signed Mike D'Antoni, if they don't win this year, where do you go from here? Do they have any pieces? They don't have any. Their youngest, best piece they traded was Capella. Mm-hmm. So they have no, you know, long-term future. That was my point. I wrote a story about this like a year and a half ago. I said, I don't think the Rockets are going to see an NBA Finals anytime soon because their two best players are touching 30 and they have dysfunction in their own organization.
I was also going to say the biggest issue with a guy like Russell Westbrook is that he can't shoot, right? And a guy whose game is predicated upon, you know, speed and athleticism, once that speed and athleticism is gone, and I'm going to say this, and I hope you guys understand what I'm saying, Russell isn't necessarily skilled in a way, right? So in the same way that Allen Iverson wasn't skilled, right? So it was like, you know, they can score, but they did most of that based upon their speed and their quickness, right? Yeah. Allen Iverson was not a great shooter. Russell Westbrook is not a great shooter. And so, you know, once Iverson's speed and quickness was gone, he was out of the league within 2 years. Now, do I think that's going to happen with Russ? Nah, because this dude got like a $200 million contract. But Russ's, you know, decline is going to be quick and it's going to be very, very steep.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is their opportunity. I mean, especially, I mean, we know they all can shoot it, the team as a whole. So I think if they catch fire, they'll definitely be a team to, you know, be on the ride. I think the favorites have to be the LA teams, but I think they are a sneaky play. If I was betting, and I would have to see the odds, but I think they were like 10th or 11th team. I mean, I think best odds to win the final. I would throw a couple dollars at it because if they do get hot with this restart, we don't know what type of shape people are in. We don't know what shape, you know, guys are in, especially if, you know, God forbid, but if someone does get the virus or someone has a soft, you know, soft core issue, a soft tissue injury, and they have to miss significant time, a Rockets would be a team like that. It's pretty much whoever's team can just stay the healthiest and just survive. I think the deeper teams will survive, So I think like a Clippers, you know, God forbid if someone does get sick or hurt, teams like the Clippers, they will be able to advance. But if people do get sick or hurt, a Rockets would be a team I would throw a couple of dollars at if I was betting. That's a sneaky play.
Well, we know the Lakers are going to win the championship. So, I mean, it's here today and gone tomorrow.
I would love to see LeBron win another championship. It's just the fact that I think people are definitely undervaluing how valuable Avery Bradley is. Avery Bradley, he was their, second best defensive player, best perimeter defensive player, arguably. And, last 5-6 minutes of a playoff game, he would have been on the floor. He would have been the guy ending game. When that guy disappears, that hurts. Yeah, they're going to play Alex Caruso more and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and J.R. Smith, but what real value are they really bringing to the team? Rondo, I'm not the biggest. I don't think Rondo does that much, but that's still a depth piece that you're losing, that you didn't replace.
And experience.
He's
got experience. I think Rondo, at this point, he's got one of the highest IQs in the league. So I think that, obviously, that serves well when you have that on your bench. I think at this point, he's more suited kind of being more of an assistant coach as far as, one of the great Rondo stories when he's in Sacramento and, it's a last-second game, it's a last-second possession, and he basically calls out the entire set that the other team is running and how to stop it and tells everybody where to go. And I think even if he's not on the court, if he's bringing that presence on the bench during games, that's a plus. Avery Bradley's going to hurt. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. But because it takes away our defender who defended point guards. He did a really good job guarding point guards, and he also did a good job guarding bigger guards as well. He did a good job guarding Luka when we played Dallas a couple of times, but it takes away our guy that contains smaller guards. He locked up Pat Bev the last time we played him, and when we won the only time we beat the Clippers. And he had a really good game against the Clippers. He was a big reason why we won. I think Alex Caruso, though, I'm not the media loves him. I'm not a big Alex Caruso guy, but he does make really good basketball plays.
He brings a pop or, a different type of juice. He's younger. My biggest concern with losing Rondo and Bradley is just depth. LeBron, he's a freak athlete. He's playing so well, basically almost in his 40s, but there might be a time where LeBron might need a couple minutes rest, because he can't run the offense right now. He might be a little tired. They don't have another guy when LeBron sits down to do that. Rondo was that guy. He could give you a couple of minutes in spurts to run offense. Avery Bradley is a former point guard. He can come in and do that. I don't know if I trust Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He did play a lot better this year, especially at the second half after the All-Star break. He did play a lot better, but I don't know. I mean, who are they going to bring in to come and help? They're already down two guys. They bring in J.R. Smith. They didn't bring Jamal Crawford. They didn't sign Reggie Jackson before the season was discontinued. Who is this other guy that I'm not thinking about right now they can bring in?
Well, I just think that the guys that they brought in bring a different skill set to maybe to what they lost. So you talk about Avery Bradley and how he was a really good defender. And yeah, I mean, he was listed as a point guard, but if Avery Bradley's bringing the ball up the floor for you every time, it's not going to be pretty. And as far as going up against the league's best defense guards, because he's not the best ball handler. He's got the size of a point guard and can guard point guards, but he's not the best ball handler. And so when you bring in, two guys in Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, you're bringing in guys that can score. And, yeah, Rondo, losing Rondo is big in terms of the fact that it doesn't allow the Lakers to have another playmaker when LeBron sits down. But, I mean, that goes back to how he's played majority of his career being one of the only playmakers, if not the only playmaker on the roster. And so I think getting a guy like Deion Waiters, if you can really get him acclimated, and, this is a good thing because we've had another training camp, but he's a guy that we were looking for, another guy to be able to create his own shots off pick and roll situations, off, isolation, being able to just go one-on-one. We didn't have that many guys besides LeBron and AD. We thought Kyle Kuzma would fill in that role, but he's dying his hair every other week. So, he hasn't panned out. But even Kuzma started playing better at the end of the year, kind of filling in his role. But we needed another guy that could create his own and could get hot when needed. JR can bring that as far as streaky shooting, and Deion can bring that as far as going off pick and rolls, operating, and, he's a big guard, too, getting in the lane.
and working. So I'm excited, man. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, Alex doesn't think it's going to last all the way. I don't know.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah. Once a couple of cases get in that bubble, man, there, everybody.
Eric Bledsoe just tested positive for it. He just tested positive for it a few minutes ago.
Jesus.
And you know how I know, like, how people are going to get infected?
Yes. Why?
Their guests. Because I do not trust for a second that these dudes are not in here, in there, sneaking girls in through the back entrances and stuff. Like, it's, none of y'all went to historically black universities. So, like, we had visitation hours. We had to sign in, turn in the ID, do all the other stuff. But our freshman year, them fire escape, them doors at the end of the hall, the fire escape doors, did not work.
Yeah.
And so people were sneaking them in like that. That's what they're going to be out here doing. And if you, I firmly believe dudes are sneaking girls in the bubble. And them Instagram models is going to mess up the whole bubble. I promise you that.
Two things. There was a girl, she tweeted like 3 days ago that a player already invited her to the bubble. One, that's strike number one. Strike number two is, did you see those oral rings that they're wearing? Did you see those?
Oral rings? Those
rings. Yeah. They're wearing these oral rings. So basically they have these rings. They can monitor like your heart rate, your breathing, things like that, like your temperature and things like that. But they only have 14 hours of battery life. Remember that number. You know how it is, bro. You know, you're busy. You're doing things. You know, we forget to accidentally charge our phone. You know, we might go somewhere, damn, my phone's dead.
Yep.
What happens when they, quote unquote, I accidentally forgot to change or charge my Oura Ring? What the Oura Ring does is when you come within like 6 or 7 feet of someone, it makes a noise. Well, it's not going to make a noise to let nobody know if it's dead, if I forget to charge it, quote unquote. You know, it's things like that. So it's, right now, this thing is still kind of new to players. They're not having a good time. They're shotgunning beers. They're fishing, you know, playing Warzone, things like that. But I want to see a month from now, who's going to be that first guy? You know, and he's like, this ain't for me, bro. You know, we are already 0-6. I'm leaving. I'm going home. I'm done. Because to be honest with you, they brought too many teams. They brought 22 teams. I thought the whole point was to keep people out. That's number one. Number two, if I'm a team like the Suns, the Spurs, the Wizards, I already know we're not going to the finals. I'm telling you, if I was the Wizards, we're already down with two of our top three best players.
Yep.
If I was the Wizards, I would go in there. I would play all my young guys. I would lose. I would go 0-8, and I would try to increase my draft stock. I would. What's the point? We're not going to the finals anyway. Bradley Beal's not playing. We're not. There's no what benefit do we? So we're going to go to the playoffs and get rolled by 50 by the Bucks. No, I would go in there, go 0-8, and improve my stock. That's and then draft. That's what I would do.
Nah, facts. I don't even know why they if their two best players aren't playing, I don't even know why they would even go. Like I wouldn't even just go at this point. Like my two all-star players are not going.
But a third best player in Bertans, their best shooter, he's not playing.
Yeah, he stayed home.
So my top three players aren't going. And what I want to say, Washington's what, 5 games out of Orlando?
Yep.
Like they were like, no, there's no point in playing. I would be like you.
I'll just lose
my stock.
I would just play my.
To play for.
I would just play my young guys. And another thing I think people really need to take this into consideration is, if you're like the 8th, 9th, 10th man on the bench, someone that doesn't really play that much, if I'm their agent, I'm telling them a few things. One, you cannot screw this up and get the virus. Why? If you get sick and you shut this thing down, you might not ever play in the NBA again. Mm-hmm. If you break the bubble and you, God forbid, go out the bubble and get the virus and bring it back in there and someone gets sick, you're done. I don't see how you come back from that and play in another NBA game ever again. I just honestly, because you've ruined everything. You know, it's that type of thing. And also, I want to see guys like Danilo Gallinari, guys that are coming up in contract years. Someone's going to make themselves a nice little check going forward in this. But I don't know who it's going to be. Someone's going to play very, very well, and they're going to get a big contract. Bismack Biyombo, 4 or 5 years ago, he played well in 3-4 games. He got a $52 million deal. Solomon Hill, guy averaged 4 points a game all season.
Good God almighty.
$52 million deal. Someone random like this is going to have a good little bubble tournament thing, and they're going to get themselves a nice little check.
We're going to leave it right there, but we will be right back with a little bit more. Tobias, you down to hang out with us for our final segment of the show?
Oh, for sure. You know I am.
All right, man. We will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Follow the show on Twitter, GamePlanTSM. That's T as in train, S as in samurai, M as in mother. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy, as in former President John F. And the former WWE wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, all right. Our good friend Tobias Bass from Guns Up Nation is still with us. You ready to get into our next topic, sir?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, all right. We're going to just get out of all the sports here. You know, it's been going around all over social media, all over the world, really. Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, entanglements, right? And so most of us, you know, we have a pretty good idea what an entanglement is. So, you know,
right.
What is, you know, because, you know, we used to call this we hanging, we chilling, we vibing, we just living in the moment, right? How shocked were you to hear her use the word entanglement? Tobias, I'm going to go to you first.
With me, so when I heard the word entanglement, this is how my brain works. The first thing I did was Google it, right? Because I was just, you know, I just really honestly, you know, wanted to see now. But when I Googled it, I Googled, like, imaged it, right? Because I wanted to see, you know, what is a picture of, like, I know what entangling is, but I just want to see a picture, right? The first picture that comes up are, like, vines that are being, like, you know, entangled together. And they're combined together. And I was sitting there, I was like, verbiage is key. Why did she use entanglement? It's just like, I applaud the creativity, but it's just like now the word is now being ruined. Like, I've never heard the word. When was the last time you guys heard the word entanglement? Like, people don't say that word, you know, at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just now she has created a whole movement of entangling.
Kennedy Miller?
Nah, I mean, I was watching it and, you know, we kind of just talked about this a little bit off the air, but it was like, it was a whole lot of nothing really, like just using these big words and, you know, just trying to dig herself out of a hole when it was like, bro, I mean, just be honest. Like, just say y'all was having sex. Just say you and Will got an open relationship. Or if it's nobody's business, say it's nobody's business and don't come on a red table talk to discuss this if you're going to spend 10 minutes talking about nothing. I was like, bro, I really had to go back and watch it again because after like 5 minutes, I really exited out and I was like, bro, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever watched like this year. And then I had to go back and watch the whole thing and I was like, yo, this doesn't make sense. Like, it felt like they were trying to walk on eggshells, but y'all are the ones that came to this and did this yourselves. So, I mean, that's my two
cents. I was going to say, what I didn't understand was, you know, if her and Will were not together, then there's no need for Jada to be out there talking in riddles. Like, she did her best T.I. impersonation. And you know what I mean when I say that. Because T.I. would get out of here talking somewhere. You know, they bring T.I. on, like, you know, one of these TV shows like the Today Show or something. He gets up there talking like, I'm utterly flabbergasted and appalled that one of my near and dear comrades is being accused of such unseemly and unsavory conduct. We will handle this matter expeditiously. That's how Jada was talking. Like, entanglement. And it seemed like Will was having to, like, pull words out of her mouth. And he was like, entanglement. What does that mean, Jada? It sounded like he was talking to, like, like an infant. Like, use your words. Like, it was the most ridiculous thing I probably watched in a long time. Because, you know, if her and Will weren't together, she was free to do whatever she pleased.
Right.
And, you know, poor August Alsina. All this man was trying to do was promote his love album. It's the first time we've heard any music from Homeboy in 4 years. And now he's just become a joke. Like, yo, what would you do if some woman called, said you were an entanglement, said you were a speed bump, a stepping stone? Like, bro.
My thing is, so he did it to promote his, you know, his album, right?
I think he was on it with Angela Yee just being like totally vulnerable and totally honest. I don't even know if that was like him trying to use that as like sensationalism or album promotion. I think he was just being like, honest.
Yeah, because my whole point was like, why did he even, you know, saying it? Because he had to have known, okay, if I bring this out, I'm having sex with another man's wife, regardless of what they were having, regardless of what they had going on. She's, you know, Jada Pinkett is very, very famous. Will Smith is very, very famous. Not like he's out here hitting Keisha, you know, whatever. This is going to be a big thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say it was planned, but it was just like, he didn't talk to no one PR related about this. Like what is, why? Like, why did you do this?
And to say that, you know, Will has signed off on it too.
Yeah, like, I'm like, Will out here written out Jada? Like,
he said, like,
I didn't get it.
Yeah, like,
I didn't.
Like, so have we figured out if there are or aren't swingers? I mean, because they swingers, that's like, you know, that's their business. That's their thing. You know, but, you know, I feel like nothing really came from the Red Table Talk but jokes. That's it.
So, you know, I was telling you that Boosie was on Vlad talking about it. Mm. But Vlad came out and, I mean, Vlad was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, say nobody's business, but I have a very reliable source that, you know, they are an open relationship and this is just like the tip of the iceberg. Like, they do some wild stuff. And so my thing is, like, if that's y'all, that's y'all. That's cool. Like, but don't come on here and just try and tiptoe when this is what y'all came on here by yourself. Like, y'all chose to do this one-on-one. And then don't try and tiptoe around the world, entanglement, yada, yada, yada. Say either it's nobody's business or say what happened.
To me, this seems like a very piss poor Kardashian attempt. It's kind of like when a Kardashian, you don't hear anything from them from a while, and it's just like, boom, one of them did this. A few months later, boom, someone else did this. Like, we really want, you know, we really want to talk about Will and Jada like that. It's just like, you know, she got this Red Table Talk thing. A lot of people do watch it, but it's just like, this was just another attempt to just get the all eyes on me. You know, COVID is killing our nation right now. Sports is in the balance. Mm-hmm. What can we do right now? They can just swing the attention on us.
Like, what I understand what you're saying, but what that would be like more disappointing to me than anything else, because the Smiths actually have talent. You know what I'm saying? The Kardashians,
yeah, exactly.
They ain't famous for doing nothing but being naked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they have no talent. Yeah,
like they really got no talent at all.
Yeah, exactly.
But now to address my man Will Smith, who was answering people's DMs, you know, like with a 50 Cent. And I ain't gonna lie to you, man. At this point, I understand why somebody shot at 50 Cent 10, 12 times. He got hit with nine of them. Because he's an like, he gonna text Will talking about, are you doing all right? He said, yeah, brother, I'm doing all right. You know, he said something else to him, and he said, yeah, man, because Jada ain't got to ask permission. She's the only person that can give permission to get her back blown out. And Will's answer was just like, you, 50.
And Michael Blackson was bugging him, too.
Like, why are you answering these people's, like, because these people really here just to bother you. And to poke at you. Like, Will, if y'all got through whatever, if y'all was on the rocks and she decided to hook up with August Alsina or whatever the case happened to be, if y'all got through with it, if you two are cool with what happened, I don't know why he's... I don't know why any of it. Why?
Then if 50 Cent DMs you, you might as well just not even respond because nothing good is going to come out of it.
He's a bully.
Yeah, we know how he is. If he DMs you, just read it and let it rock. Read and delete, because nothing's going to come out. Like, now screenshots being passed around. Michael Blackson was bugging him. Now it's just like any celebrity, like that we just want to just bug him. They just gone. It's like then poor Will. He looked so hurt. Like, he just looked like hurt.
He looks so hurt, bro.
I feel for bro. It's just I wonder what he is like. How do you? I mean, I wonder his kids. Are they gonna say anything? Like, how do you even? Do you say anything? Like,
because you saw Willow had wrote the note asking Tupac to come back because her mommy was very sad.
Yeah,
bro. Oh, like, so I got a question for you fellas. You know, we've been out here dating for at least a good period of time. Now we're grown. Have you ever told somebody you were dating that maybe have wanted something more? Did you ever give them like one of those like ridiculous answers? Like, you know, well, what are we? You know, we're just chilling. Well, what are we? We just vibing. Like, if you have, or if you, or if a woman told that to you, what exactly did they say to you?
So they wanted more with me, for example,
if they did, or if it was vice versa, either or, we're cool. Okay. We'll take it. We'll take either or.
For me, I mean, I try to be as upfront as possible. I mean, like I just tell them, you know, we just chilling. I hate when people do ask me that. What are we? What are we? I'm like, I done told you once. I done told you another time. Like, you know, nothing changed between yesterday and today, or this hour between this hour. You know what I'm saying? So I try to keep it upfront with me. I try to be as honest as possible, but I mean, the answer is pretty much the same. You know, either I'm not ready, or, you know, I'm just not ready. I'm not going to force it. So. Right. I don't know if I've ever, I've heard stories, especially with me, like covering athletes, and they give them, you know, wild, you know, answers and situations, and some of them they end up getting caught. It is kind of funny, but I just try to be honest.
Could you give us one of those right quick, like a quick example?
So I'm not gonna say any names, but so they did play basketball at Tech. He was talking to some girl about they were talking or whatever. And bro, man, you know, told her, you know, I'm not ready. You know, I just got out of a relationship. You know, I'm just chilling. Well, bro, this is very middle school. You know how, let's say you're talking to both of girls at the same time, mm-hmm. and you accidentally send this girl this message, but you meant to send it to the other one.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
Yeah,
bro, he sent like the wrong message to the wrong girl. So he basically is talking to him at the same time, which is cool, but he sent the one that he just told in person, like, oh, you know, I'm not really ready for this, X, Y, Z. The message that he sent was very, I was told by the girl that it was very graphic. And the second part of the message was how he just really wanted to be with this girl. And, you know, she reads this message after he just told her in person, you know, I'm not ready, X, Y, and Z. He was just stringing her on. She was very, very upset. And he was just playing, you know, playing around with her. I've heard, you know, excuses about, like, I've heard animal excuses, you know, my dog really doing it. I've heard a bunch of things, especially with athletes. You know, my dog, I got to really take care of my dog, and the season's coming up. And it's just like, yo, dog, like your animal, like your animal. What you mean, your animal? What does your animal have to do with us? I've heard, you know, that before, but I don't know.
Kennedy? Man, this has been fun. This has been extremely fun, but we got to wrap this bad boy up. We are running out of time here. Kennedy Mill, I got to thank you once again for hanging out with us, man. Where can the folks find you on Twitter, dog?
Find me on Twitter. My new Twitter name was back to my old Twitter name. _KennedyMiller_ Again, _Kennedy, as in the former president, John F., and the former offensive lineman, Cortez Kennedy. KennedyMiller_
All right. Tobias, man, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Tobias_Bass. That's TOBIAS_Bass, like the fish.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin T.S. Simgen. That's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin T.S.M. T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. For Tobias Bass and Kennedy Miller, Alex Goodwin is my name. And we will see you next time.